We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. I used to live in Newfoundland, and Newfoundland was called the Rock. The Rock. Because everywhere in Newfoundland there is rock. And a lot of Newfoundlanders always long to get back to the Rock. I was privileged to get back there this summer. That rock is Christ. That's it. That rock is Christ. 1 Corinthians 10. That rock is Christ. And we want you to, I want to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He's the only Savior of sinners, the only person for a lost, perishing soul. Let's sing this song. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Where will our God hold their wings astride? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have secured ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Our loving Father, we thank thee that we can open thy precious word once more this evening. And we thank thee for this precious word of thine that is so living and so wonderful. And we just praise thee and thank thee for this, Father. We thank thee that we can take up this precious word and read it, meditate upon it, and see in thy precious word, first of all, thy great love and thy way of salvation to poor, lost, guilty sinners. And we thank thee for this. The way of salvation is so simple. We thank thee for this. And it's not complicated. We can just come to thee in faith and trust thee as Lord and Savior and be saved, and be saved for all eternity. How wonderful this is. And we thank thee for it, loving Father. So we ask thee to help us with opening about thy precious word this evening. And we give thee thanks for the privilege of being and preaching the gospel once more. We thank thee for this. And loving Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 107. 107th Psalm. I want to say, first of all, that this is the joy of being able to preach the gospel from any portion of Scripture and apply it to the gospel. That for me is just fabulous. I like it. And the Lord is giving me this portion tonight, and I trust it'll be an enjoyment to everyone who's here tonight. Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in the great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them into their desired heaven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. That is repeated four times in this 107th Psalm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. What was his most wonderful work? That he sent his Son here into this world, that he gave his only begotten Son. And so we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This wonderful God in heaven has given the very object of his heart, his dear beloved Son. And to think how man could take that blessed one and put him up there on Calvary's cross. And they could say, "Away with this man, crucify him, crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us." They crucified the Lord of glory. And you know, even today, they would do the same. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It was man's wicked heart that put the Lord Jesus up on that cross. And as often repeated in a gospel meeting, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us here tonight have sinned. Even the youngest person here has sinned. And those sins have separated us from a holy God. God cannot have sin in His presence. And so He's provided a way whereby you and I could be saved. And to come into His presence and to spend an eternity with Him. You know, it's so wonderful that here we are, 2013, and what is it, September? And we're so close to the Lord's coming. Oh, it's so wonderful just to think of it. How blessed just to think that perhaps this very, very night, the Lord will come and take us home. Will this room be empty? What about it, young people? Have you decided for Christ tonight? You know, tomorrow may be too late. It may be too late. You know, it's so wonderful. If Brother Jim will allow me, I'm going to talk about his father-in-law. Mr. Byrne was a very successful man in York Harbor, Newfoundland. And he had no regard for the gospel. I've known him for maybe over 20 years or so, more than that probably. He was well known in York Harbor, and we always, on our way out, we always stopped there for whatever the case may be. Usually it was an ice cream cone. And Mr. Byrne, very nice man. But he wasn't saved. And he had been acquainted with the gospel. Everyone that had come through had given him the gospel. And no, there was no response. So, you know, it says here in Psalm 107, "For he commanded and raiseth the stormy wind." Mr. Byrne, after he was retired, a stormy wind came into his life. He got cancer. And, you know, it was in the reclining years of his life that Mr. Byrne came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He had no regard, as I knew him years before, for this precious Word of God. He had no regard for it. He would just pass it off. But the Lord brought him to know Him as Lord and Savior. And I believe it probably was the testimony of ones that came by. And so now he has cancer. And he's not too long for this world. He's going to leave this world, but he's going to be with the Lord Jesus. Now I want to tell you that we went to see him, and the subject before us was the coming of the Lord Jesus, the rapture, to take us home to the Father's house. And you know, he was just beaming. He was enjoying the precious Word of God. What a change in his life. Who made that change? The Lord Jesus. He came as a guilty, lost sinner. And he's saved. I'm going to say that Mr. Burns probably, what is he? Oh yeah, he told me he was 78. Is that the time to come to Christ? No. The time to come to Christ is when you're young. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's the time to come to the Lord Jesus to be saved. And so we asked you this question tonight. Are you saved? They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in the great waters. Tonight we're going to talk about your ship. Where's it going? Where's it going? I gave a track to a man last Tuesday, and it was a Titanic track. I love to give that one out. And he didn't know anything about the Titanic. So I had the privilege of telling them all about the Titanic. If you were on that boat, you would have gone down with the rest of them. If you weren't without Christ, you would be eternally lost. Yeah. You're on a journey. You're on a life journey. You know, some of you young ones here this evening are just starting out on your life's journey. You're just starting out. And this person here is probably coming to the end of life's journey. But which way are you going? Where's your ship going? Where's it going? And you know, it says, passing onward, quickly passing. Yes, but whither? Whither bound? Where are you going? Have you made a decision for Christ yet? Have you come to Him? You know, it says, there's something wonderful about the gospel, and it's this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You can't get to heaven without that. You know, the Lord Jesus shed His precious blood on Calvary's cross for you because you are a sinner. Wonderful, isn't it? He's provided a way of salvation. Provided a way. It's full and free. It's free. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way. The only way. And it says in Proverbs 14, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's awful. And so, last Tuesday, I handed out a tract to a person. She had one of those shawls on, so you know where she was coming from. And she held out her hand to get the tract. And at the last second, she saw the name of Jesus and drew back. The name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That tract says, one day you will meet Jesus. One day you'll meet Jesus. And thank God, through His sovereign grace, I'm going to meet Him as my Savior. My Savior. But we ask this question, are you going to meet Him as you judge? And that's a solemn thing, to think that there could be one here tonight that has never come to the Lord Jesus. And you'll meet Him as your judge. And you'll stand before that blessed one. And it'll be awesome, awesome sight. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is that your portion? Does God want to send a man to hell? No, He doesn't. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his evil way and live. And then He says, I love this, He says, turn ye, for a while to be done. Turn ye. And so the gospel is like that, you know. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the gospel goes forth week by week, day by day, because God wants to save your soul. Yes, He does. How precious it is. Another man in Newfoundland. This was one of the two reasons why I went to Newfoundland for the conference. Because Brother Roy Stevens in St. John, New Brunswick, says, Al, he says, I want you to go and meet go and see my cousin. He's dying of bone cancer. And Herb Bathstone, I worked with for 12 years. He was, I had my stall here in Canadian Tire, and he had his stall over there. And we worked on cars. The years have gone by. I had moved to Vancouver, and 20 years had gone by. And so I phoned him up. I said, Herb, this is Al Coleman. He says, what? He was surprised. After 20 years, remembered me. Herb, I want to come and see you. Oh, yeah, come on up. And so I had to climb this steep hill to his house. I was all tuckered out by the time I got there. And so we got to talking about the old shop and what happened to this person, that person. And then Herb invited me into his house. Yes, he was dying of cancer. He was in great pain, and his wife was equally sick. And then the subject came around to the gospel, to the Lord's things. I wanted to give him the gospel. I wanted him to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Before it's forever too late, he was dying of cancer. Now, Herb, do you own a Bible? Yes, he says, I own a Bible. He says, you gave it to me 20 years ago, and I'm still reading it. I said, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? His word will never return void. Never. That little tract that you gave out, or that little word that you gave out, God can use it. You young people, you got a friend, you can tell them about the Lord Jesus. It'll never return void. That's what I like about giving out gospel tracts. I know. And that once it's gone, you know, it's in the hands of the Spirit of God. He can use it. You're on a journey. Look at what it says. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in the great waters. You know what God's business is? Saving souls. That's what he wants. He wants to save your soul. And he wants to save your soul right now, tonight. Right in your chair. This boy here didn't do that when he was young. And I recommend highly, highly, that you confess Christ when you're young. You see, I led a very wild, wicked life when I was young. Very wild, very wicked. And I never came to Christ until I was in my 20s. And those, to me, were wasted years because I was never reading this precious Word of God and seeing what my precious Savior had instructions for me. And so how important it is, I say important it is, to come to Christ when you're young and to take up this precious book and read it and read it and meditate upon it. It's his word. And it shows us the way of salvation. It also shows us direction in our life. So what's this little ship going to do? What is my little ship going to do? Where is it going? Passing onward, quickly passing, yes, but whither, whither gone? Where? Where? These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Oh, to think of this wonderful creation, the awesomeness of this creation. Go down to your garden and see that rose. Look up in the sky and see the myriads of stars. I remember once when we were camping in the south coast of Newfoundland, and Brother Don Bilisoli and I, and it's a rarity to have a clear sky in Newfoundland. And I looked up in the sky, and it was just myriads and myriads and myriads. What a wonderful sight. That belongs to my God, and I belong to him. Isn't that wonderful? We know, do you know Jesus as your own personal Savior? He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. You know, we've been singing about, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Sometimes he can bring a storm into our life. Yes, he can. He can bring a storm into our life. Why? Why? Because he wants us to look to him. A storm in our life. Whatever the case may be, it may be sickness, it may be a disaster, maybe it was an accident, whatever the case may be, God can bring that storm into our life. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their souls melted in the middle, melted because of trouble. A great wave up and down. Two weeks ago, my family invited me to go down to the seashore with them. And we had a very nice time with the family. And I love to go out into the waves and go out about this far and just challenge the waves. And sometimes they challenge you and I don't. It says here they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. Those waves don't come at you straight on. Sometimes they come this way and that way. You never know which way they're coming. And isn't that the way sometimes we get in our life? That we don't know which way to turn. It's coming at us from all angles. I don't know. And I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. Yes, I do. Come to the Lord. He is available. He's available. You can just come to him. Oh, you know, I look back and when I was working in the mechanic shop and I would get into trouble with a car and I cannot find out the problem with this car. And I say, Lord, help me fix this car. I don't know where the problem is. You know something? The Lord is an excellent mechanic. He is. He can show us what the problem is with that car. And he can do all kinds of things like that. Little things that we have in our life. You know, that's nice, isn't it, eh? So you're at school, you're young people, and you have a problem in your school. Okay, ask the Lord. He's available. He's available right close. And it says they rail to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. But what I'm going to tell you right now is very solemn. They reel to and fro and stagger like an drunken man. You know, in gospel meetings, I've told a lot of things about myself. I've never told you this part. Because when I was young, I would get drunk many times. I did. And I look back on it with sorrow. That I got drunk. And you know, that's what this is describing right now. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. Have you ever had a hangover? No, I'm sure if I look around this room, I don't think there's one person here that's ever had a hangover. And it's the most horrible thing that you can think of. It's awful. And yet, there I was. My father praying for me. Where is he? What is he doing? And you know, there's a lot of fathers here tonight are praying for their son, for their daughter. Where are they? What are they doing? It's the same as what we're doing, what we're talking about this morning. Mary, where is she? Where is she? Lord, you know where she is. Look after her. And so she's in the Lord's hands. You know, this world has nothing for you. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Don't look to this world for enjoyment, for peace. The glitter and glamour of this world is not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth having a big head. It's not worth staggering like a drunken man. And that's just exactly what it is. The Lord Jesus has something wonderful for you. He can give you peace. He can give you enjoyment. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God, to know my precious Savior and all that He did for me and His great love for me, and that He died on Calvary's cross for me, and that He's coming again for me to take me home to the Father's house. Does the world offer that? Did the world offer that for me when I was young? No. No. Now none but Christ can satisfy. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in me. Oh, you know this wonderful person. They create a real to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and they're at their wit's end. Oh, many times I've been at my wit's end, and I came to Him, and He helped me, and He'll help you too. He'll help you in your Christian life. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And you know, this is a gospel meeting here tonight. Have you cried to the Lord? Have you cried to the Lord? He'll hear you. This very wonderful God will hear. You know, He's not like me. He's not hard of hearing. He don't need to hear me. His ear is ever open to your cry. And He wants to hear from you. Have you ever talked to Him? You ever talked to the Lord Jesus? I have so many, 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 many times. And He's always listening to me. What a Savior. What a wonderful God that we have. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I always say this, in that verse, it's a direct telephone line to heaven. Dial it. Dial it. 5015. That's a direct call to heaven. And then another thing I want to tell you is this. Don't wait till you get into trouble before you call on the Lord Jesus. He's there. He's available. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Then they cry unto their Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distress. Oh, how wonderful this is that He has taken me, saved me, washed all my sins away, and I'm made fit for Him, for His presence. Wonderful God, wonderful God. Do you know this wonderful person? He maketh the storm a calm. Isn't that beautiful? He maketh the storm a calm. Do you have a storm in your life? Do you have problems in your life? And He can bring that calm right into your life. Peace. Therefore, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He maketh a storm of calm so that the waves thereof are still. You think of the Lord. When He was out there in that water there, He said, peace, be still. Peace, be still. And He can bring that calm into your life. Turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Think of that. Isn't that nice? Very present, right now, help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear? Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, you know, you think of what it is, the news flashes that are coming through today. And what a horrible world in which we're living in. The crisis in Syria and all those other things. You know, everywhere you can see storms. We've experienced a summer in Atlanta, and the most unusual summer we've had. It rained and storms for a whole month, and floods. And we're not the only one. There's floods all over the place, and there's disasters all over the place, and there's shootings all over the place, and there's, well, I don't have to list them all. You know all about it. What is wrong with the world today? What is happening? The Lord is coming. That's it. The Lord is coming. And these are the last closing days of the day of grace, and I believe this timing is so very soon. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. Oh, how wonderful it is that you and I are going to see Him face to face, to be with Him, to be like Him. Is this your portion? Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. What is a refuge? It's a place of safety. We have the cities of refuge back in Deuteronomy. The only place of refuge is the Lord Jesus Christ. My brother was reading this afternoon about Abner. And just further on in that chapter, Abner gets to the city of refuge. Abner gets to the city of Hebron. And he just gets to the door of the gate. And he is about to open the door of that city and to get in. And what does he do? Joab comes up behind him and he says, Abner, just a minute, I want to talk to you. And he died there. He died there. All I had to do was to open that gate and get into the city of refuge and you'd be safe. And you know, dear one, tonight, all you have to do is to come to Jesus as your Savior. And you'll be safe and safe for all eternity. Isn't that wonderful? God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear. You know, we don't have to fear the future because the future is all settled in Christ. He is my future. We can calmly face the future when the blood is on the door. I like that. That's nice. We can calmly face the future when the blood is on the door. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. And so we look at the world today. What a turmoil this world is in. We're going to leave it. There is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst her. She shall not be moved. God will help her in that early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come. See the works of the Lord, what desolations he had made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Be still and know that I am God. God will still be God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I want to tell you a little bit about this psalm. During the last war, Winston Churchill called a man by the name of Sir William Dobie. He said, I want you to go down to the island of Malta and hold it at all costs. And you know what happened in history? That the island of Malta was bombarded by the German Luftwaffe, and it was just flattened. But Winston Churchill said, hold it at all costs, because it was a very important island, right in the middle of the Mediterranean. And Sir William Dobie was a Christian man, and this was his chapter. He said, God is our refuge and strength. He maketh wars to cease. He burneth the chariot of fire, those German planes that came down. He maketh the chariots of fire. Hold it at all costs. God is our refuge and strength. My strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's it. You know, beloved, I can't stand up here in my own strength. No, I can't. It's only the Lord that sustained me. What a God. What a wonderful God. You know, years ago I'd be petrified, absolutely petrified, to give a gospel tract to a person on the street. Absolutely petrified. I couldn't do it. And yet the Lord has given me the strength to get out in the street. Somebody asked me the other day, aren't you scared of going down there? No. The other day I was down there, and there had been a shooting a few days before, and there must have been 12 or so policemen right in the same block. But there's souls down there. There's souls that are lost. They're on their way to a lost eternity. And how precious it is to be able to give out the word down there, to see these souls going, walking. What a privilege. No, I'm not scared. The Lord gives me the strength. Everybody's arming themselves with the guns. Everybody. The gun shops are empty. That's the world in which we are living. But you know, we're going to leave this world. We're going to leave this world. And so I look around this room tonight. We're going to leave this world. The Lord's going to come. And the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet God. And the dead in Christ shall raise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. If the Lord was to come tonight, would there be one here left in your seat? I remember that as a young lad, sitting in many gospel meetings. I'd go out of the gospel meeting still a lost sinner. Is it going to be one here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior? One young person, one older one? God loves you. He wants to save your precious soul. He wants to take you to that wonderful home in heaven that He has prepared for you. And He could say, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there he may be also. And then it says, and until the passing. Lord, we don't know where you're going. Show us the way. And he said to Philip, he says, have I been so long time with you, and thou hast not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Oh, you know, there are many that today are saying, show me the way. There is a way. There is a way. It is in this wonderful book, the Word of God. It liveth and abideth forever. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the Word of God that saves, not the words of Elkholm. It's His Word, this precious Word of God. And I challenge you, dear young people, to take this book. Meditate upon it. Read it every day. Chapter by chapter, word by word, whatever it is, whatever the case may be. But to take this word and make it your way of life. He's showing you the way. He's showing you how to live through this world. He's showing you also how to be saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's the way of salvation. The Lord Jesus provided it through His precious work in Calvary's cross. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The verse that I love to quote in the gospel meeting is this: if He only thought of Himself and gathered unto Himself His spirit and His breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would man would return to the dust. Got it. But what's the answer? What is the answer? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the answer. He never thought of Himself. He thought of you. He thought of me. John 7:37. At the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Thirsting for Christ. He satisfied the longing soul. He wants to save you. If you're not saved tonight, you can come. He'll receive you. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Have you thanked the Lord Jesus for dying on Calvary's cross for you? Even the youngest person here tonight can thank the Lord Jesus for dying on Calvary's cross. And He wants to hear from you. Wants to hear from you. Let's thank the Lord. Loving Father, we do thank Thee tonight for Thy precious Word. And we thank Thee that it's a living Word. And we thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for Thy great love.